There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
And, yep. Most regrettable.
Yeah, I think it's about right. You should be able to buy any gun you want, I think.
Yeah.
That'd be, you know what? Like, I don't think that I will push back and say the Second Amendment was not, they didn't have anything like ARs and fully automatic weapons and bazookas in mind, but that it is what it is. So, like, you know, I'm not one of those Second Amendment dudes that's, you know, going to defend that. I think that's a pretty weak argument, but I also believe, like, yeah, you should have whatever you want. You know?
Most people buying guns are pretty responsible folks, you know, more likely to shoot themselves than any other person.
Right.
I'd love like a bazooka.
40 millimeter anti-aircraft gun or something. Yeah, I could see it. It'd be great for duck hunting.
You got the money?
If that anti-aircraft gun or any, let's use like some sort of heat-seeking projectile from the ground was legal in the United States. By the end of 2024, all of those were made legal. In the year 2025, how many aircraft would be shot down?
A lot.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that the majority of airplanes have bullet holes in them, like from people just taking pot shots.
Really?
Yeah,
they got to dig them out.
Crazy.
It's amazing too. Like they can tell. Like even though the aircraft doesn't realize that it got shot. You know, they can tell at some point, like, oh, this happened at this particular point from this angle or whatever. People get busted for it, for firing and hitting aircraft.
Well, they shoot at our towers all the time.
They do.
When they hit something that's vital, then that's what the detectives do. They go up, they run a little rod through, and they can tell you exactly where that bullet came from.
It's like CSI with the red line.
And it's like, and then he's like, Billy Bob, why'd you shoot from our house? They found us.
Yeah. that's like a job at the airport. Is I'm the guy who digs the bullets out of the bottom of the plane. Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, that's a little bit ridiculous. I don't think anybody should have Stinger missiles and stuff like that, I guess. But, you know, as far as you can hold it in your hands like a combustion weapon or whatever you want to call it, you should be able to have that.
Flamethrower?
But a man pads. Man portable anti-aircraft system. I mean,
I suppose so.
It's like a little tank kind of thing.
Well, that's like a Stinger.
Yeah. Oh,
gotcha. Yeah, just handheld.
But it's got a rocket, right?
It's got a rocket.
Yeah,
that works off combustion.
With a slug and a bullet cage.
Yeah.
So look at all these things. And then they're like, well,
maybe not
explosive. Yeah, not explosive.
Nothing with a guidance system.
Yeah, no guidance.
Exactly. That may be perhaps. Okay. The founding fathers did not anticipate infrared heat-seeking guidance
or
systems.
Or satellites or anything like that.
Unless you got that one.
Yeah, I should be able to own a satellite in space with kinetic rods in it.
Yeah. But what about that gun from Jackal or whatever, where you could shoot it and guide the bullet thing? Isn't that?
I forgot about that. No. I was thinking, remember the light gun from, what was it, Terminator 2? The rail gun? Where they shot the beam of light. I think it was
plasma weapons
and stuff like that.
Was that
that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Well, buddy, only what you see here, all right?
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know.
That's my favorite part, one of my favorite parts in the original Terminator, when he walks into the gun store, and this is, of course, the one where Arnold is the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he walks in, and he's like, I want the Desert Eagle 45 long slide. I want the 12-gauge auto loader and the plasma rifle and a 40-watt range. The guy's like, whoa, hey. Man, just what you see on the shelves, all right?
Yeah. Which the 45 and the 12 gauge, not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's the plasma rifle that, or what is it, pulse rifle? Or what?
Plasma rifle, specifically in the 40 watt range.
Yeah, exactly. But like,
we only got 20
you know,
watts these days, bro.
Yeah.
I want to be able to buy a Draco that's fully automatic
100%.
And not be able to hit a single thing with it.
Right.
Well, the thing is that you can. It's just if you get caught. You know, this,
that's
like, to go to the, like, criminals can buy any gun they want. You know,
they do.
Yeah. And they do. Absolutely. Yeah. And you look at the Glock switches. It's crazy how those things have proliferated. Yeah. They're constantly
like a $10 piece of plastic you can get, right?
So, and technically that's legal because they sell it under the preface that it is a something else, right? It's not even
buy a Glock and then get the switch for it,
right? But you can't technically sell a Glock switch to alter
a
switch.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, for example, in the state of Oklahoma, you would go to a gun show, and you can't sell a bayonet that attaches to the end of a rifle. So what they would sell was tent stakes that are shaped like bayonets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you attach,
that's how they got rid of it.
It's up to you, you know, if you stick if you it on a rifle.
Exactly, when you leave, exactly.
Like it's got the lug on it and everything.
Yeah,
like,
it's got the whole thing. Yeah. There's the screws on perfectly. Wow. Yeah. To which gun? Oh, well, this one's for that one, and then this tent stakes for that cut.
Yeah.
Which well, like, the ATF is wise enough, they do define firearms by both form and function, which is a fancy way of saying art and science. Like, are you treating it like we consider it illegal, or is it technically actually mechanically illegal?
Right.
You know, if you like theoretically, a perfect example is AR-15 pistols. Those are real popular right now. It is built as a pistol. The only thing you can do to actually legally put a buttstock on it is to register it federally, and you got to pay the tax stamp for it, is to turn it into a short-barreled rifle. And at that point, it can never be a pistol.
Right.
Again, it can never be anything
and
but a short.
And some states don't even allow those.
Yeah, that's right. And but you got to pay the $200 to be able to put $30 worth of plastic on the gun.
Which could be 3D printed for $3 nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. But if you go to a gun range and you have an AR, AR-15, its recoil mechanism still extends beyond the back of the gun. It extends into this little tube, the recoil buffer tube. And it looks like a buttstock, but it's not a buttstock. But technically, if you go to the range and the guy next to you is an ATF officer and he sees you put that tube up to your shoulder and use it like a buttstock, you are using that illegal weapon at that point.
Gotcha. Right.
And the idea is form and function, is how are you using it? And you just used a pistol as a rifle, which is illegal unless you have the proper paperwork.
And you can get the proper paperwork to have certain certain fully automatic weapons, like
only those made before 1984,
right? So you can get like an M4, you know, like I've seen that on some YouTube videos. Like I've fully auto. I mean, they're like $15,000.
Did you get you a Tommy something. Gun?
Yeah, that, Tommy gun.
Yeah, that's cheap.
yeah,
exactly.
But like, how much did it cost to get the paper? Like, and it's a huge
$200.
Process, right?
Yeah, like, that's a process
to
yeah.
get your fully automatic weapons. It's like, what is it, a license or?
It's a Class 3. It's the same as getting a suppressor or a short barrel rifle. Which I got the short barrel rifle license for a firearm. And when I sold that firearm to somebody, they had to go through the same process. It's non-transferable. I can't sell you a gun and you just automatically get. You got to go and you got to get fingerprinted. You got to fill out the paperwork. Get a written statement from your sheriff. Now, they have streamlined the process, from what I understand. This was 10 years ago when I did this, but it is much more streamlined now. But you can certainly get a fully automatic weapon.
Yeah. How stringent are the background checks they do for firearms, for like pistols and stuff? Because you don't have to have a background check for a shotgun or a specific type of guns, you know, some of the guns. But if you want to buy a handgun specifically, you have to get a background check. At least I know in some states, in our states specifically, I do know that.
It's been so long since I bought a gun from a gun store. I bought a couple of pistols last year from a gun store.
It's just your average, probably OCN, or in our state, OCN, ACN.
I think so. But you can just avoid that whole process and buy your pistol at the gun show.
Yeah.
Or off now, Facebook 100%. Or whatever.
The Biden administration is trying to close that loophole. We saw actually, you know, the director of the Clinton Airport, National Airport in Little Rock, who died following a firefight with ATF. Mm. That's where they were getting him from, is that he was buying and selling guns outside of official FFL, like federal firearm license dealers. He was selling and buying them that way. Specifically, he would go, buy a gun from the trunk of the guy who was set up at the gun store, a gun show that day or something, to bypass, and he would sell them that way too. And the ATF was like, no, that's federally, we don't like what you're doing, so we're gonna raid your house. And he ended up shooting at them, they shot at him, they hit him, and he died in hospital like a day later or something. It's crazy. Yeah. And so now the Arkansas is like, wait a second, like, this is a gun store loophole kind of state. All right, if you want to sell and buy a gun at a yard sale, this is Arkansas, you can do that.
Yeah.
So what the hell are federal agents doing in Arkansas trying to bust somebody for doing more or less that same exact thing?
But so, isn't that the issue, though? I mean, like, talking about background checks for gun show style, like, you know, yard sale, swap shop type gun purchases. I mean, do we need that? Should we do that? You know?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't hate it. I don't know why I don't hate it, but
And most people don't mind it because it's not a registry. That's what people sometimes confuse it as, and the agency that you do the background check when you purchase a weapon, they explicitly states this is not being cataloged under your name somewhere as a registry of the firearms that you own. Now, obviously, that can be accessed with warrants and stuff like that, and they do that. Yes. Yeah, but there's still like a due process system before. Where they can check and see what. Now you buy a bunch of guns in a short period of time that does throw flags up or whatever. But I think the background check when you purchase a firearm, and I thought it was for all. I don't know. I don't know. It's like I said, it's been a long time since I bought anything but a technical pistol from a gun store. But it's very simple, just to make sure you don't have any like warrants, felony warrants.
Yeah, and then isn't there ways you could think of that would make it easier, that would allow gun shows to still go? Like, you can't sell, like, let's say instead of a background check yearly or bi-yearly or something like that, like once every, we could even say, I'd even be okay going once every 5 years, you can get like a firearm buying license where you send through, say, a background check to the government. And they say, yes, you can still buy firearms. And then when you go to the gun store, all you have to do is show that you can legally buy firearms, that your background check is still, you know,
it's
what
like
I mean?
Like a blanket, you know.
Yeah, a blanket.
You don't have to fill out an individual
every
thing.
Every time. If you're a guy who likes going to gun shows and buying this and buying that, like if you're at a gun show and you don't have to show anything, couldn't you like technically be selling to like a felon, you know?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't they make it so they get in trouble? Then gun shows will be like, they're gonna, you know, like if you supply a gun to a felon, which is then used in a crime, you know, and I know it's legal right now, but what if they made it so the gun seller can be liable?
Oh, there have been like in school shooting incidents where it's come back onto the I believe it was
specifically that's kind of unconstitutional.
And not
like
in our
states. It's his right to
either,
sell it, right?
I don't think that they would go back on the seller, especially if it was a gun show situation. Impossible to trace them, too.
The Marjorie, what is that, Marjorie Douglas Stoneman, the big one in
Arizona?
Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, in Florida back 2018, I think, when Nicholas Cruz shot up. They went after the guy who sold him the gun. And I don't think legally he ended up... I don't know. I might completely have this wrong here. Maybe he at least was threatened with legal action, but the backlash against this particular guy, and he's like, look, man, this is what I do. I sell guns.
Sell guns.
Now, gun shows, I don't know how all of them are set up, but they're generally only licensed dealers are allowed to set up. And the catch, the back door is that after the gun show, you go meet the guy at his vehicle. Then you can purchase. It's like at a licensed event, you have to do the background check as a licensed dealer. But if it's after a private sale, I have sold firearms at a yard sale. I have purchased a firearm at a yard sale. There's no totally legal, 100% legal. You better have it's a good idea to have a bill of sale. I sold a gun once to a couple of Mexican guys who came up, spoke no English, and I was like, before I sell this to you, you are signing and filling out this bill of sale here, so if you go sell to the cartel or do something stupid with it, I at least have something to show that, man, I sold that gun. But other than that, it was 100% legal.
It wasn't registered to you though, surely.
Gun that was not registered, but I filled out the background check at the serial number
from an actual gun store.
What would happen is if that gun was used in a murder, like in a crime,
it would come
and
straight
they,
to your house
they yeah. would they what they would do is they check serial number, they'd have to ask a judge for a warrant to check the database, and they'd be able to say like, okay, well, this gun was sold from this dealer to this guy at a certain point. They come to my house and be like, I've got this fancy bill of sale right here that says it signed it. All right.
You still got this gun, sir?
Yeah.
So obviously the whole point, like with even with my idea, would mean that you can't sell guns at a yard sale anymore. Just can't do it, you know, or at the back of a truck or on Facebook or anything like that.
But at the end of the day, I don't know about the state by state when it comes to yard sales per se. But at the end of the day, unless you get caught, unless you're selling to an ATF agent, you can sell at a garage sale all day long.
Yeah. And a yard sale is just a thing. Like what? Like if you crack down on that, then what are you going to crack? I can't sell a gun to Jay. I can't buy a gun from you, Tyler. Like what?
Right.
Again, if you got a gun and you need some money, I'll buy it.
And then you can't pass down guns. guns.
What if you made it so
you can't pass now guns?
Yeah. And what if you made it so you had to file some kind of thing? I mean, like, what we're trying to do is stop people from shooting a school.
Right.
I guess. So, like, how what's the best way to stop? And I'm not advocating. I'm not a gun controlist. How do you do it?
I don't know the percentage of gun men, because most of them are men, right? The percentage of gunmen, like school shooters,
gun persons
that were that had already committed a crime.
Yeah, no, oh, I
most
don't
of them.
Many.
I think like this is what.
Yeah,
everybody what was like, "Oh shit!" Or maybe they like showed up to class in dark clothes or something, but they didn't break any laws.
The worst thing they did was they're still in their mom's basement. Travis Bickle style, loading guns in their holster,
there's no red flags for somebody to sell them a gun.
Yeah,
when it comes to the background.
But then they talk about it like a mental,
right?
Like,
but
you
that's protected.
That's a whole other thing.
But think about it: if you go to the mental hospital, that's protected under HIPAA. So how
it's not illegal to be crazy, right?
Exactly, yeah. So it's not illegal to be crazy. So how are they going to separate that?
Atypical. Sorry,
yeah.
So there's no way, like, I didn't even think
they're
about that.
They probably could. I'm sure they could say, okay, this person has been certified as this, and they can, we figured out those people cannot have a gun.
Yeah.
So then they go on to some sort of red flag.
Yeah, red
that
flag
doesn't,
laws.
You know, that doesn't say what the problem is, but no, sir, unfortunately you've been flagged and we can't tell you.
There's
and
nothing we can
nut
do.
Out on you.
Let's
and
just
you know
arm
why.
The teachers. That's all that's all we got.
Well, and even the red flag laws are sometimes like, they're more like recommendations than they are like legal restrictions. Like there was that, I believe it was a Texas guy, maybe New Mexico, that shot up an Air Force base and killed a group of guys. And he had a red flag on his. He was a member of the Air Force, or had been, and he had a red flag on from like beating his wife up.
Gotcha.
And the gun owner saw it and still sold him a gun or whatever, you know. And
so it's at your discretion.
I don't know. It's so state by state. It's such a patchwork of just parochial and archaic laws.
And it probably, in our lifetime, may never, well, we may see it when we're 70, 80 years old, but we may never see gun change, laws change, just because of how deeply rooted even our generation is, my generation being Gen X, about, quote-unquote, our guns and our grandparents'
guns. I want to own a gun. I want everybody I want legal, law-abiding citizens to own guns.
Absolutely.
Which means
that
freaking everybody else has to as well, though.
That's true.
Like, you know, and yeah, we block felons from getting guns, but if felons just go to a gun show and just, you know, whatever, and you know, show his library card and he's good to go. Or and then school shooters that have a lot of them, but just like disgruntled children, essentially, mentally still children, you know, who never got laid. And then there's no way to stop that person unless you do extensive mental health checks on everybody in the country.
Yeah.
And then
that
also gets
that
folded in.
Yeah.
You can't predict it. So it's like, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. And then, but I don't agree with arming teachers. I went to freaking school with you. Ms. Babbitt would have shot all of us in the face.
No, Oklahoma has, Broken Bow has armed teachers. They've been trained.
Yeah, I think that's
Cleet.
A horrible idea.
And I mean, you know, there's been a couple of situations where there was active shooter situation, or at least claimed to have been a called in active shooter. And the idea that these teachers were able to protect our children to the level of a law enforcement entity felt better.
What's the training?
Like in Arkansas,
I mean,
I think it's
like a
it's
half
similar
a day
to what a police officer.
Yes, it is exactly.
Which is not that.
So then, what
may not
teacher?
Be saying something.
So is every teacher like required?
No, just very select few in our specific district. I only speak for ours. A very select few, handful of them or whatever.
Yeah,
and they went through very stringent, specific CLEAT, and then they did some school type stuff too on top of it to prepare for a active shooter.
And before that necessarily makes you feel like you sleep better at night because of that. I mean, do know a lot of cops don't. They go through the training.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's why you see it like a police shootout and the police shot 300 rounds before the incident was over.
And
saw
this
the suspect thing. Was apprehended without injury.
I saw this one thing where they put like 20-year police officers through active shooter simulations and they just shot everybody but the assailants, you know, and I don't imagine a half a day for a teacher going in. Like, it's just...
It's a desperate... it's a desperate solution like for a desperate problem. You know, it's not a fix. It's just, hey, I don't know. It's one of those, what, you know,
what can you do? And then we got this thing now where it's like,
And those teachers are human too, so
yeah, exactly.
What's to say one of them won't snap? Yeah. So, but yeah. I'm not going to change my stance. I agree with some of the statements. It is a tough time to be in. So, but yeah. I also think that in our situation, the people that I feel like are the right people to have it.
Yeah,
and yeah,
yeah. I'll be honest. I was initially when the talk of this arming teachers thing first came out, I very much had a knee-jerk reaction against it, but I've met some of the guys that gone through, I'm like, all right, you're level-headed, like you got, like I don't know, at this point in time I'm like, the school shootings have just continued to grow, it feels like, and maybe that's just more of a feeling than it is a factual thing.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
In a school, an active shooter situation, people are going to get it shot anyways.
Yeah.
And to at least give the teachers either that, or you're going to have to make schools as locked down as prisons. I mean, which is already happening. You know,
I'm a firm believer that active shooters will only go where they know there's not a gun allowed.
Yeah,
if you walk into a room, you know six people have a gun, you are less likely to shoot that place up than you are next door who says no guns allowed.
Right, they're probably anticipating dying anyways.
True, but they want to get as many kills.
They
want to
get as many kills
as
they can. Exactly. So you're going to go to the weakest target.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't agree with
it.
It's not knee jerk.
I can
fully flesh out my thoughts on why. I don't think teachers should have
guns. It's not an easy feeling.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not good no matter what.
Yeah.
It's a weird,
and then,
again, it'd be a weird discussion for our society to have.
Yeah.
You know?
And now it's to the point where, and you've had to deal with it, Jay, we have to deal with it on a tiny daycare level, but it's only going to get worse and worse. We're like, well, damn, now the schools are completely locked down. Like, if you want to, like, pop your head in and see your kid in class, you ain't doing that. Yeah. Like, they don't let you in. I went to go speak at that high school. I felt like I was, like, getting patted down, wanted, fucking, like, Jesus. I mean, I just
you invited
go in.
Me here, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at like OKC high school. I bet you had to go through metal detectors every day.
Oh, yeah,
middle school through high school.
Middle school through
every
high
day.
School, yeah.
To get into class.
I mean, you got to have like clear backpacks and stuff because it is such
That's
a problem.
Crazy.
It is, and it may not. It's not necessarily
they
active
didn't think
shooter.
Of clear backpacks in the 90s or they would have had those.
No, yeah.
It's just kids bringing guns to school in case they think they need them. It's not, like they're going to shoot up the school.
Oh,
but
no.
Just, it's even something like, I bet you, if you shook down. Like an LA school district, kids are finding ways to get guns.
Oh, bro.
I mean, it would be an arsenal in there.
At Webster Middle School alone, 3 years that I went there, there were two shootings on campus, and that I can remember, five of my friends, three of which got busted, two that did not, that I saw a pistol on them.
And they
in
were just
school.
G's, right?
And they were OGs.
They were just OGs.
I mean, the ones that got busted were stupid and showing everybody.
Yeah, stupid, yeah.
But the two that, you know.
I saw surveillance footage at a school of two kids messing around, and one of them, like, jumps onto the other one's back, like, piggyback ride, whatever, and fucking.
Falls out.
The big ass Glock just clunk right on the floor. He picks it up and stuffs it back into his sweatpants, and the teacher's standing there, like, what the fuck? It's in front of me.
Do you see the one? I don't know if it's the same video or a similar line of videos, but the guy's walking in front of like a group of police officers, and he's just kind of walking in it. The pistol like falls out on the ground. He's just like,
what a
picks
nightmare.
It up, puts it in, and just keeps walking. And one of the cops is like,
did I just see that?
And they don't know anything. They just stand there.
I love those videos. I saw another one of, I don't know if it was like a Bitcoin raid or something like that. So this place is getting raided, and it very well could have been fake, but it looked real to me. It's just filming this dark room, and this guy busts in, like going crazy, and he like looking all around, and he finds like a place to hide, and he runs into the corner where there's like a coat rack, and he like literally put on like a hat like from the coat rack and just like stood there, and then opened the door, and like six SWAT team dudes come in like fully geared out, and they all like look through the room like give it like a once over, and they're like, ah, not in here, leave. Got out, dude.
I love it.
Yes. Wow.
I don't think that guy did anything wrong
right
now.
I wonder if you guys have took any time to develop some thoughts. I mean, I really haven't clearly laid this out in my own mind, but we had a big landmark talking about shootings and guns and liability and all that. we had a big landmark thing earlier this year in Michigan where there was a school shooter. I forget which one. It was a bad one. They're all bad. But this one was, I guess, there was a lot of.
There is a best one
on the scale. Well, yeah. On the scale of death. Yeah,
there's a best one was and a worst. Bad one.
Nobody died. Best one yet.
Yeah, best one.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I just realized now. I think the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas or whatever, that was the one up in the Northeast, the one that Alex Jones kept saying it was all like fake and actors.
Oh, that's Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook. I'm right. Yeah. Okay. See, I'm sorry.
We're getting our school shootings straight, juggling them.
All right. Go back to this. Sorry. Let me close the loop here. The Michigan one is that the I don't know. I can't remember what happened to the kid. If he died, it was shot by police or took his own life or whatever. But the parents were held liable. Both of them were charged with for involuntary manslaughter or something.
Damn.
Because for one, they bought the gun for the kid.
Yeah.
He was like 16. And it was a AR-15 that they purchased him. You still had to be, I guess, 18 to get this thing. Maybe under state law.
That's crazy. Wait, but your parents could kind of like how your parents can bring you for a tattoo at 16 or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like just something.
Well, no, I think
or
it was
maybe
still
just
illegal.
Bought it and then gave it to him, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that'd be state law. I was like, you can only. Because, like, here in Arkansas, I mean, you can you can get your 4-year-old a rifle.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I will. Your name. I will be getting her a rifle.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm going to have a lot of guns in the future. Yeah, it might be pink, but that's all right. But, they ended up, charging. Both of them got, 10-year sentences, the mom and dad. But there was also other, they had been ignoring red flags. He was all mentally atypical or whatever. And the teachers were, really worried about him and stuff.
I don't know if jumping on the train of making parents legally responsible for their children's action is something I want to do. But I am completely for making parents have to bask in the fact that they made that. They did that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe
that
if
there's
we
punishment
held,
enough.
Yeah. Maybe if we held parents more accountable, there'd be better. I mean, honestly, I almost don't hate that. Like, if you've been avoiding red flags, if you've been ignoring them, if you raised him to be that type of shitty person, you never actually even put him in time out. You just let him roll over you. That's your fault. You created Hitler. Like, would you hold Hitler's parents accountable?
I feel like I'm a bad dad because I missed a few games.
Right.
You know what I mean? And those are the things that I had to work, so I missed this game. And, I had to blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, I also have a life that is ongoing, too, so I couldn't devote all of my time like some of these parents can to their kids. And I see myself as a bad parent, but then when I step back and I see how other people don't even parent their kids in the sense of giving them life lessons when stuff pops up.
Yeah.
You know, just teach them.
I saw this shit. I saw this shit. You guys would have been enraged by it on Instagram. It was this Instagram account that I just fell upon. This lady has two kids, 3 years apart, I think about, and both of them happen to be nonverbal autistic whatever. Nonverbal, which means they've never spoken a word.
Okay. But the one's like, Mom, no, I can talk. I'm cool.
Shut up
for
the Instagram video. Shut your mouth.
Exactly. That's so sad.
Autism isn't genetic. I'm pretty sure that's
an environmental thing.
It's like an environment. So you've made both of your children nonverbal autistic. Let them, there's plenty of people. Get them in a certain situation. They'll be talking.
We've created a whole layer of the onion of Munchausen syndrome with this spectrum. Think about it. Fucking ridiculous. I can be a good mom and not actually destroy my child physically and put them in the hospital by giving them this crap that actually kills them. But I can say they've got a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can still get the attention because I'm the mom of someone that has to deal with this child.
Their number one parent has been the iPad that you gave them at 18 months old.
Exactly. What are the chances that you have two kids that have the same nonverbal severe autism? That's your fucking fault.
It's a miracle. At two, this child started talking.
It's your fault as the parent. You should be like that. It's impossible. It's not even slightly true.
Parents making a lot of bad kids out there who will turn into bad adults. For example, I was reading an article last night. You know, New York City recently unveiled this Dublin to NYC portal. It's like a screen. It looks like something from Stargate. Like if you walk through, you would end up in Dublin and vice versa. And it's like set up at a bar or a nightclub or something in Dublin by the looks of it. But it's just a screen, you know, and it's constant.
You just see a homeless dude shitting on the New York sidewalk.
It's 24/7 live stream. Yep. Well, this chick goes up to it and lifts her shirt up to expose herself. They ended up like now it's that they've cut closed it down. Yeah, cut it. And it just so happened. I read that and I was like, damn, she looks hot. Let me read about the story, New York Post. And she is the same one that was licking toilet seats back during COVID. If you remember that chick, real hot.
Yeah.
She was licking COVID seats and then went to Dr. Phil. She got on Dr. Phil and she was all talking about how much she hated the fact that Corona, the COVID-19 pandemic happened because it was taking attention away from her. And he even asked her, like, she was licking the toilet seats because she's like, I don't care about COVID if I get it. And Dr. Phil asked her, like, so if you catch COVID and spread it to someone, they die from it, you really don't care as long as that increases your fame a little bit. And she's like, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, I wouldn't care. She's like, I want to be famous for being famous. Well, so she did this stunt just to complete, see you next Tuesday is who this person is.
Yeah.
Complete. And she did this stunt in front of the Dublin portal.
I like how much Patrick says censoring himself. This see you next Tuesday exposed herself. Like this cunt flashed her titties. I don't know what I gotta say.
So she did that, and she said that she got like 30,000 new OnlyFans followers.
Oh sure,
within that period, and she's already claiming she makes 70,000 to 125,000 a month off OF. But she said that her dad didn't know that she was doing all this stuff until he picked up his copy of the New York Post and saw her picture in there exposing herself. And she was like, well, my dad doesn't really know how to feel about it just yet. But my mom is proud of me. She says, no matter what I'm doing, as long as I'm doing a good job at it. And it's like, but it is kind of funny to think that both of my parents have seen a dick in my mouth. And it's like you are an awful person.
Wow.
And maybe that's your
Godspeed.
Maybe that's your shtick is like you're an awful person and you're making a fortune off being an awful person or whatever. But I kind of want to go to your parents and be like, what happened, y'all?
Yeah. What did you do?
Are you really proud of this? Mm-hmm. Are you really proud that you unleashed this monster onto the world?
Was it or neglect abuse? Or abuse or secret abuse?
And that's my point stands. On this, okay, this new Stargate-looking portal that goes from Dublin to the... Whenever there's a new piece of technology out, the first thing that comes out is titties and the N-word. Like, so some dude was racist into it first, definitely in Dublin.
I never
and
heard then, of it until this.
And then one chick flashed herself. So it's like, that's really what...
Oh, there was a lot of bare behinds, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes. Just white Irish asses.
I thought it was New York to Dublin, wasn't it?
I can see the picture and you can see a bunch of people like in a nightclub or something.
Oh, okay.
It was like a two-way live stream or something. So when you're in New York, you can see the folks in Dublin and then they get to see you there.
That's hilarious.
that's weird to me.
Yeah.
And then you're talking to them, they're on a delay and it's like, all breaking and up. And
Dublin of all places?
Why? Yeah. Why Dublin?
Yeah. Irish whiskey. Yeah.
That's a dirty area. Oh man, I don't know. Who knows? We're not going to solve the gun debate on here. I was just like, how can you realistically do it? Do we just say, screw it?
My stance is, I own a lot of guns and plan on it for my entire life, and I plan on passing those on to my kids. Some of them I got from my dad. Some of them I bought myself. Some of them are, you know, bigger cartridge. Some of them are smaller, you know, single feed. But at the end of the day, there are some loopholes that could be sewn up when it comes to gun control.
There's existing laws that would be great.
I don't think the word gun control has to be negative.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think we just want to control the the lunatics at the end of the day.
We all love guns, but I'm tired of lunatics having them. And it's just, and the road rage incidences. And I mean, an area like ours, you don't dare say nothing to nobody because there's a good chance they're going to pull a hand cannon out of their pocket. Yep. Me and my buddy, we were out in a real rural area the other day, just riding around. We were chilling, just having beer by this river. And someone comes driving across and their officer's gacked out of their mind, you know. And he was like, "Do you have a gun on you?" You know, after they passed, he was like, "Do you have a gun on you?" And I was like, "No, do you?" And he's like, "No, I didn't figure you did either." And he was just like, "I mean, anything could have happened." And I was like, "Well," I was like, "You're right." And I was like, "I'm just not in a place in my life where I feel like I got to have one on me all the time.
I feel uncomfortable with it on me. I've gone to a few places.
I wouldn't mind like a little 380 little pocket pistol. Yep. It's like the size of a wallet or something, whatever.
Yep.
I don't have one like that. But I was like, "Bro, those go like you're worried about them having a gun the whole time. They're worried about us having
oh yeah
a gun. And also we got the drop on them. We knew they were coming before they got
and you're
there,
not gacked so out
and we're not gacked out.
I'm just ready to defend my home. To defend my home. 100%. I don't bring it out with me. There's been a few occasions, I'm not gonna lie, where I had it, you know.
We have a lot of gun violence in the country. The most tragic is obviously when kids find it and they're playing around with it. And people who kill themselves or act like either purposely or accidentally. But, you know, what is it? Is 18,000 homicides, gun-related homicides a year? I'd say a good chunk of those deserve to die. Like, I'd say a lot of people that die from gun violence, we're not missing them.
I want to know how many people die from guns who were just shooting at someone else. You know what I mean? Like, what's the percentage there? I mean, we're talking about gun violence, so like we got to talk about like gang shit. If you fire your gun at somebody and then they fire their gun at you and kill you, it's kind of your fault,
right? You created that gun violence.
So, it's not homicide, like in a legal sense, right?
Yeah, that would be when you're protecting yourself.
Self-defense.
Yeah,
reminds me of that Norm MacDonald joke. He's like, then you have manslaughter, you know, like a step down from murder, but sounds way worse.
Yeah, it does. What always cracked me up was involuntary manslaughter, where you purposely, that means like you purposely or intentedly accidentally killed someone.
You accidentally killed somebody
on
purpose.
that although your intent was not to
kill that particular person. Yeah.
You meant to accidentally kill somebody.
Which
is, I mean, I guess it makes like DWI. You kill somebody. I mean, you can get, I think in some places, negligent homicide now. You can get involuntary manslaughter, which is like you were drunk, you got behind the wheel, you were going to kill somebody. It's just a matter of time, and you just so happened it was going to be this.
Is that voluntary? So is voluntary manslaughter where you were breaking the law and you killed someone? Voluntary versus involuntary.
That's good. Yeah.
What if you had
you have felony homicide too, which is when you or felony murder.
Well,
when you like, let's say you're robbing a convenience store and you end up shooting the cashier and he dies from it. Oh, you're done at that point.
Like involuntary manslaughter to me sounds like there's 100 people at the bottom of a cliff and you're at the top of the cliff and you throw a big rock down knowing it's like you're like, I'm gonna kill someone.
No, I was thinking so you didn't know anybody was at the bottom of the cliff, but you it was reasonable to think that someone could be harmed at the bottom.
Yeah,
I think that causes involuntary. Voluntary is like, oh, there's 100 people down there.
Yeah, I'm going to get one.
Yeah. Peace off.
But then I accidentally killed you because I wasn't aiming for you. I was aiming for someone.
You live a life where you don't really have to learn those distinctions first and second degree homicide. Yeah. You know, where second degree homicide is like, oh, you killed somebody, but you weren't like planning on doing it.
Yeah. It just happened out of the heat of the moment or something.
You shouldn't. It wasn't self-defense.
Yeah, you knew better.
You should have. Yeah, he was mouthing off to you because you were wearing a Steelers jersey while filling gas. Yeah, and you didn't
tapped
like
his
it.
Chin and he cracked his head.
Yeah,
on the
exactly.
Pavement.
Yeah, busted his dome.
Busted
on
his dome and died.
Well, that would be more manslaughter. Like
that
you,
would be manslaughter.
You're not punching anyone in the face anticipating they're going to die from it, but he's making fun of you because you're a Steelers fan and you're like, you pull out the gun that you just keep with you all the time and you shoot him. That's going to be second degree homicide. Like,
but
you were not intending to kill the guy.
If you had drank just enough where you were over the legal limit and socked him, then it's voluntary manslaughter. That's what I think. Okay. I do think that there's a difference there in the involuntary breaking the law.
That's great.
Yeah, if you're if
just
driving
sponsored
65,
by a lawyer or something that we could get in here, get in here every once in a while.
We need to get her in here. Ask her all the legal questions we've ever brought up on.
She defends children. I don't know if
she wouldn't want
much
to
cares about the the difference between murderers.
At the end of the day, I do love America's gun culture. When it comes down to it, I don't like the fetishism.
I don't like the culture.
Yeah. Well, okay. Maybe I'm sorry. I misspoke. I love how free we are when it comes to guns.
Love
You're
my
right,
gun, man.
Yeah,
the fact that there is a culture to it when it's like a tool. There's not a culture surrounding shovels.
That's humanity right there, though.
Yeah,
creating a culture around everything.
We got to make a culture around everything. You're absolutely right about that. But I have friends that I just can't stand to hang out with sometimes because they fetishize these weapons. Like, oh, I had a guy come by the other day. He was just like, man, I've seen a lot of guns, dude. I shot a lot of guns. It's going to take something serious to impress me when it comes to a firearm these days. And nowadays, it's usually because I'm that stage in my life. It's going to be like, oh, it's old.
Yeah.
You know, like a Kentucky musket or something, a Brown Bess. You know, that's going to impress me. Like, you have
incorporated into my sex life.
Yeah.
Take that buttstock and make me a rifle.
But again, you talk to guys who just act as hard as they can be all day long, and then you go over to their house and they're just like, oh, let me show you my law. It's long and it's black and it's real thick.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you could squeeze it. And
I sleep with it.
Yeah, it's
hard. I sleep with it right here always.
It gets gay, dude. Gun culture gets gay so fast.
Yeah,
so fast.
It's a nice slippery
slope. You're talking
slope
like
into
a lot of inches. Twisting.
Exactly.
Bullets are shaped like dicks.
Absolutely.
And,
I am a very quick. I am not open about having guns whatsoever. Mm. I think that's big. I don't like the fewer people that know that I own them. Just expect at least in a place like Southwest Arkansas, you expect that everybody has a gun. But I'm not going to tell you all the time that I got some.
Look at this man. This hard thing right here. If I'm ready, I'm going to explode it all over him, motherfucker.
I got the biggest you've ever seen.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you want to see the
never
breach?
Seen one.
Yeah, the breach. This is where it goes in, and this is where it comes out.
Yeah, I'm on a hair trigger. Ready?
Yeah. It's so gay, dude.
It is quite gay.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with weed culture. That one bugs me.
Let me read you off. Okay, I got a subscription to a gun store here. Let me read off some of the names of some of these guns I've been seeing here recently. Okay,
Buttfucker 3000.
Not quite so much Tactical Cowboy.
Oh shit!
We got a Hell Puppy AK-47 pistol.
The Hell
Puppy. That's for shooting up. You're from the 13th Street and you see somebody from the 12th Street. You knew
AK
somebody from
47 pistol.
Yeah, you knew somebody from 12th Street. Just went on 13th Street, so you go over their block and you just empty it into a shadowy group of guys over there, and you throw it over the side.
It's like
give me the one that 9 out of 10 school shooters recommend.
Yeah,
well, I prefer a Makarov
AR-15. So, yeah, no, honestly, I sent the Hell Puppy to my wife, and I was like, Father's Day is coming up. I take this one.
So that's a Draco, right?
It's
basically
smaller than a Draco.
Oh, yeah, smaller than it is, but it shoots 9mm or what?
No, it shoots 7.62x39. Yeah, there's. Yeah, it comes with 40 rounds.
See, that's what I'm saying.
That's
I want
awesome.
That thing fully automatic, though.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be.
Oh, you could bump fire it, no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it'd be fully automatic, be spinning on you.
You
would hit nothing.
Yeah,
dude.
You'd hit nothing.
You would hit. We got a BM-59 paratrooper. We've got what
the
else?
BM-59.
Yeah, the X-Pro 12-gauge
the
shotgun.
Movement 59.
Yeah, yeah.
Hellcat OSP 9mm pistol.
Yeah.
That's
people
Springfield.
Are into that one.
That's Springfield Armory. Like, you are a classy Springfield. You are a classy
Hellcat.
Developer of weapon systems.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do not need to be calling your stuff.
What's the
like
most stolen vehicle in America? The
Hellcat.
Yeah. What's the most, scratched off serial number pistol in America? The Hellcat.
You probably robbing a Hellcat with a Hellcat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have the pink sock 47? Can I have that one?
Well, I'll just push back and say that's either a Tech 9 or a High Point, okay? Because both of them you can get for $100. That is literally the quintessential Saturday night special. You fire at a group of guys, you don't know if it hit them or not, whatever. You throw it over the fence and you get another one the next day.
Yeah. I love the dude wipes and the tactical butt plugs and shit that people get into. They have tactical gear.
Everything's
you can tuck
tactical.
Your penis into this little slot and 100%. Holds it there.
Yeah.
I hate all that.
Actually, I like those.
That's
sacks
the worst.
Underwear.
I heard you say a joke once. Is like this is this is where you can put a gun where otherwise your pistol or your penis would.
Yeah, 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 that's right. Would be.
Yeah.
I knew a guy who was all into the tactical shit. Like he was tactic. He was tacticaled out anytime he wasn't at work.
He was tactical.
Yeah, he was very tactical, but. At work, he just wore khakis, so we were always talking about it. It was like tactical khakis as cacticles. And like, like we went, he bought a, like a new, he bought a Tacoma or whatever. He's like, bringing in good service. I'm like, I got to see the inside of this thing. And all the seat covers, he had like the seat covers that were like the Desert Strike camo that had the bags, like that you'd have like pockets, stuff. Pouches, yeah. and mag holders.
Like a
and,
modular yes, storage
just
system.
Like that. Yeah, 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 like yeah. a vest system. Yeah. You yeah. know, like a, what do they call that? Whatever it is, a defense vest.
Plate carrier.
A plate carrier, you know, just on his seat covers, you know?
Yeah.
And this dude would, like, I guarantee you, if shots broke out, he'd Piss be cower. Pants. He'd shit his pants and cower at the back of whatever gay bar he was in.
I remember not that long ago, and I might have talked about it on this podcast before. I was in line at Easy Mart, and there's a kid in front of me, and I mean, his arms are so thin. I could have wrapped my fingers around him. I mean, he was just like, looked like a damn Holocaust survivor or something in front of me. And I looked on his hip, and he's just open carry. 19,
he had a tattoo on his arm with it.
1911, 45, a big gun.
How old
he had
was
a big gun. Oh, I mean, he couldn't, I don't, he was probably like 25 going on 12. All right.
He's got his daddy's 1911.
Yeah, it was his, you know, I'm sure. But
the cross engraved.
This is a guy, he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. Obviously, he's got no, I mean, in an actual fist to fist fight, he'd be done for.
Yeah.
You could one punch kill him. And so, yeah, okay. So
he's always on saying for that kind of guy.
He's got it in a slip holster.
He's always on 1 HP.
The hammer's back on it. I have a 1911. The hammer's only back if there's one in the chamber.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure the safety's off and everything.
Wow.
This guy needs every nanosecond yeah. he can get to
definitely does.
Discharge his weapon over
onto
somebody.
Into his femur.
Yeah. And I'm just look. I'm standing behind him. I was like, I could just. It's in a slip holster. I could just pull it out and be like, this is my gun now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. In training, we have a saying for that guy. When you don't train and you carry my gun.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because it's not going to take me very long to have your gun.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, I could have been a little kid, a little goofy kid that didn't know, or a 12-year-old little punk that did. Yeah,
slid it out the holster.
Just, I mean, literally, it's not a clasp. It's not like I got some nice Uncle Mike holsters for all my pistols.
Yeah, where you
got
to twist it right.
You got it. Yeah. But look, where my wife, I have to make sure that when I leave, I take it out of there because she can't get it out of the holster. Yeah,
So it was just like a leather holster that it was in, just like ready to go.
Yeah,
slip holster. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at it like, dude, this could, you could be carrying my gun.
The guys who are waiting, who can't wait for their house to get broken into so they can take some lives, you know? It's like, and then they want to defend. Like, honestly, I get it. Home defense, last stands type situation. You want the shotgun, I understand. But, like, dudes are, like, cleaning it every night.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if I want a shotgun.
My TV.
Yeah, like, a shotgun will defend you probably the best in your home. But then, like,
nice
think about all your
gun.
Family pictures, like, on the wall, you know?
The renovations. Like, your wife's going to be, like, 3 months later, you still haven't finished patching the holes and stuff. And she'd be knocking.
Pet bearded Nagging dragon him. Is just splattered and
well, that's why you get fleshy rounds to put in.
But it doesn't go through the wall into your kid's room.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why they're like,
get
if
like
you,
44 mag.
Cal, home defense, don't get a 44 mag with like, with like armor penetrator rounds in it and stuff. It'll go clean through your neighbor's house.
Yeah. Like, I'm ready in my bed, right? But, like, if I really put myself through the situation, I'm going to miss the first two shots. I'm going to be blinded from the muzzle flash. I'm going to be deaf from the crack of it. I'm going to be, like, less useful than I was if I just said, rape me and take everything. You know?
I was telling a story this morning on air that one of the most, like, I don't know the guy, but it's a local story. And I always found it a very courageous one, is that a guy... I'll tell like I did this morning, where he wakes up in the middle of the night just from some commotion or whatever, and he realized like his wife is not in bed with him, and he's like, okay, so she must be doing something. So he goes in to check on her, and he goes into the living room, and he sees his wife on her knees with her hands zip tied behind her back, and a dude standing over her with a machete talking to her, and the guy with the machete, his back's turned to the hallway where the bedroom is. So the guy goes and he grabs his 12 gauge and he comes back out and he sneaks up behind the guy and butts him in the back of the head with it.
and the guy drops the machete. Dude picks up the machete instead of cleaving his head in half, like I would do. I think I would do that. There's a I'm not gonna kill somebody over my TV, but if I was to see my wife on her knees with her hands zip tied behind her back, everybody I don't know is dead.
Yeah,
is,
you've done the damage. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. There's no getting to walk out of here.
You hope the
alive.
Police get here before I get the machete.
Yeah, I'm not calling the police. I'm calling an ambulance at that point. Or at least that's my intention.
But not for me.
Yeah. This guy, he picks up the machete. Instead of cleaving the head in half, he twists it over where it's the blunt side, the thin blunt side, whacks him on the head again with it. The guy stumbles and falls out the door and runs away, and they were able to arrest him because the idiot's prescription pill bottle dropped out of his hoodie pocket, and they looked at his name and his address and stuff on it. So they just went into his house.
It's pretty ballsy to, like, you ought to do something more than with the gun butt in that situation. It's not a movie. It's not Steven Seagal. You hit a guy in the head with the shotgun. I understand you still have the shotgun, but what if this guy's reactions are quicker? I mean, there's plenty of things I've seen online, dude. I watched a dude tank like 9 strikes to the head with a metal pipe.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Just tank it, you know? And like, so you butt him in the head with the shotgun
and he turns around,
and he just turns around.
Strikes you
like,
with it.
Like, yeah. Or at least, I mean, like cuts your wife
what,
or like
perhaps,
strikes you with it.
To your point, what might have been more effective is all of a sudden you're standing there hovering over this person you just took hostage and you just feel this thing against your head and then that.
Yeah, that might.
You're not doing anything,
right.
At that point, you know.
Shit, man. At that point, I'm fucking. God, you got to aim and shoot. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe you don't.
But
want
your wife's on the other side, though.
Yeah, yeah.
She was on her knees.
The back's too.
He's up. You got a right
that's
to the,
true. You
to
may
the back
have
of the
a
head.
Clear shot,
and there's a lot of folks that know that they can't pop. They can't live with the idea of killing somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
And
that's
I think
true,
even
too.
The folks who are like, oh, yeah, someone who comes steals. I've heard that before so many times. People are like, somebody can't. Somebody breaks into my house, steals my TV. I'm putting them down.
Oh, it's like, no. Over a TV?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You think you can live the rest of your life with that man? Like, just constantly rolling that through your mind that I just shot somebody for my $200 TV.
Yeah,
I know.
$200 for the big one.
Yeah, yeah.
For me to pull my pistol on, you got to be coming in my room while I'm sleeping, and then you might get shot. Like, I'm not going to pursue shoot
or holding your baby hostage or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Think about that.
You got a lot of hard work, and people are like, you know how hard I work for that TV? I will take a man's life for that. But
you know, that's a God-given American right.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I know combat veterans who took lives in Iraq and Afghanistan,
and it
haunts them every night.
Absolutely.
That's the thing
that
these
soldiers,
dudes.
They kill people that were trying to kill them, and it haunts them every night.
And these dudes literally cleaning their shotgun every night, being like, maybe this is the night my dreams come true.
Yeah. I'll get to kill a man for a TV.
I feel like they have no idea what it actually feels.
And like you said, those are the same guys that if you catch them without a gun, they're scared shitless. They're shitting their pants if you actually, you know, put up a fight.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Gun ownership, let's just, we can all agree that does not make you a man.
No.
You know, and like, and responsibility's key, right? And like,
fight another day.
Yeah, yeah. You live to fight another day.
It
free
is interesting.
Free your mind and your ass will follow.
There's a lot more. There's a lot more rigmarole to get your driver's license than there is to get a firearm in this country. It's simple.
Yeah.
You know, you think keep that in mind, and that's a.
Yeah.
Now, of course, somebody might say, "Well, ain't no constitutional amendment protects your right to drive." You're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. That is a privilege. That is a privilege in this country.
But I don't know how you could interpret
it.
I don't know how you can interpret the Second Amendment. Not that I want to fight for it, but you can't interpret that to also mean that I should be able to have, you know, like you. It protects you from owning an AR.
Yeah.
It don't. Nothing in that says that.
Yeah.
Nothing in the whole thing says anything about any of that either, you know?
Yeah.
But I want you to have one.
I've always wanted an Abrams tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for a well-regulated militia.
I'm armed.
Defense of my home.
No, just for deer hunting.
Yeah.
You know, 50 caliber or like an anti-aircraft gun on the back of my Toyota T-100.
Absolutely.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Those dummies in Iraq or you know, the ISIS can have one.
There was one that I saw. It had that Benny Hill. And it was a compilation of videos of different weapons mounted on the back of like Hilux pickup trucks and stuff, and in the Middle East, and there was one that was like a rocket launcher.
And what happens when they fire and stuff?
It's just the whole truck spins around.
I saw one at like a Muslim wedding somewhere over there, and he's just like shooting in the air with a fully automatic AK, and then he just like I don't know. He gets this grin on his face and he just lets it loose in the crowd. You know, people are all falling dead. You know, whoops. Yeah. Ahmed got the fucking gun. He's not invited to my wedding.
Yeah.
All right. Like, you know, or this one where this
lovely culture.
Yeah,
lovely culture.
Yeah, absolutely. One where this dude's firing like some kind of bazooka. That's just a blanket term. I feel like I don't know if there's an actual bazooka or if it's just a blanket term. But like, yeah, he's firing one of those. And does it like this dude like runs up at the last second to like be right behind him. Ooh. You know, and it like takes it like melts his face off. He's just like what? Like remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark or whatever when it's
yeah.
It was that guy.
Yeah. That's like, again where you wish you had kind of like a 5 second to back button.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Rewind Whoops. Life. Just yeah, 5 seconds is all I'm asking.
And back to my question earlier, I do think if bazookas are all of a sudden legal mm-hmm. in 2025, we have more melted faces in America.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
for
yeah.
sure. So back to the fact that it is legal to carry just, you know, a handheld AK-47 in the Middle East, i.e., if you celebrate at your wedding, you might just pull the trigger of one and then it hits the crowd, I guess. See, and that's
like he had whiskey trigger. Yeah. I could tell. He was like, da 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 da. Like
it was a pause.
Chest level on everybody. Only the kids were left.
Well, I love like when we took over Baghdad or Iraq in 2003. We were like, all right, every household can keep one AK-47 and the magazine because like knew like man, it's a shithole country, dude. We can't ask you to give up your weapons of minor destruction. You get to keep those.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's just so many like just completely outclassed on the old. On the old front there, like I saw one of like these, you know, whoever they were, who knows, maybe they were ISIS or whatever. And this one guy's like, he keeps peeking like he would in a video game. He keeps like peeking, pop, 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 pop. Bup, 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 bup. And like the third time, like his whole, like just one, like one sniper of just like, I mean, it just, he got a haircut, you know, like.
I know.
Dude falls there, and the next guy picks his up, peeks the same spot. He can't peek again. Yeah, you don't peek more than twice, all right? We know that.
Peek is a charm. That's a pattern, baby.
Yeah.
I read an interesting article the other day, and there's probably no humor here, so I'm going to keep this very short. I know we probably got to wrap it up here before
for
too
part
long.
One.
Yeah,
for part one.
I wasn't going to tell.
We don't tell the technical, the backstory.
Yeah. I was going to tell you how the sausage is made around here, but yeah, a really interesting article about a U.S. veteran. So he was in the Marine Corps. He's fighting for the Ukraine, like the Freedom Legion or whatever that they have over there. And I guess there's a bunch. I've just been reading more and more about him. But he was like, bro, we have got to. He was like, "That what I'm seeing over here, I was never trained for." He was like, "I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years, and I never got any kind of trainings." He's like, "I fought in Iraq. I fought in Afghanistan. I fought guys with sandals and AK-47, mm-hmm. maybe an RPG." He was like, he shows this GoPro combat footage. I mean, constant
this shit
artillery bombardment, airstrikes against him. He's got up against tanks. I mean, he's constantly having to lug around. He looks like somebody from DayZ. He's got so much gear on him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to carry all these different weapons with him. I mean, trenches, you know, having to storm trenches, having to hide in his trenches. It's crazy
where was this guy fighting?
In Ukraine.
Oh.
Yeah, in the Donbass.
There's actually, it's a little bit.
So
oldie time fighting now over there going on.
Well,
there's
it's like old and new
mixed,
right?
Yeah.
Drones and stuff, and it shows them like he's like getting their everybody's got a drone in their backpack. You know, they're attritable now, so you can you send swarms of them and 90% of them get shot down, but the 10% makes all the difference. But he was like, we have got to in America relearn what it's like to fight a real war. He's like, the enemy's like, yeah, we'll always have them damn insurgents and shit in the Middle East we got to fight, but if we ever go against Russia or China, there's some lessons that we have forgotten because we just don't fight those kind of wars anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like none of my training was there, and which I understand, you train soldiers for the fight they got to fight, you know,
especially Marines, they train in the desert, in high desert.
Yeah.
I saw ISIS body cam combat footage. It was insane, and I'm watching now. He wasn't fighting like Americans. He was probably fighting like American backed, you know, whatever other
you
tribes
see a lot,
or whatever,
a lot fighting the Syrian government of Bashar.
Oh, yeah,
Assad.
Okay, yeah. It's insane. It is what you would think combat is rather than just like an AC-130 being like, yep, like, can you see him? Yeah, I can see him. Mm. Like, I'm taking a shit right now. Do you want to go ahead and you just pull it? Yeah. You know, like, it's just like you're a billion feet away and, you know, not so detached.
You're
like a video game. Yeah, and yeah. Then, yeah, that noise.
And then you wait for a second.
Like, you know,
yeah, it
like
takes forever.
It's like 140 yep. millimeter. Like, yeah. You ever seen stuff like that? Stuff's pretty crazy. That you're so disconnected from that, you know. Like, it's kind of a video game at that point. Right. While I watch this ISIS body cam footage, it's like Call of Duty. It looks just like Call of Duty. Literally, you're like running through, bum 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 bum, kill these guys. Like, dive into a trench, dive behind a truck, bum bum bum. You know, reload. You know, it's like real shit. You know.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's wild. I got fascinated by one night watching this guy in Ukraine, and it's just, I tell you, it's there's a couple things that I really noticed. For one, how ill trained the average Ukrainian soldier is. The average Ukrainian soldier is 45. You know, they're working. Damn. They've been keeping their young people out of the fight because they're like, well, you know, so in one day we don't want all our young people all ruined or killed or mentally, you know, destroyed from combat.
Yeah.
So we're keeping them back. We're sending the old guys to go out there. But there's also a lot that obviously, man, they were reservists at most, or they got a couple weeks of training sent. Like, they can't communicate with one another. They don't follow like they're not doing proper like leapfrog and checking their corner. I mean, it's chaotic. And then watching these American guys who are fighting alongside with them, who are like trained in at least those small unit kind of tactics.
But why are these guys over there? Are they part of our military, or part of some PMC?
No,
or something
they're like, I mean, technically mercenaries. I'm sure they're getting paid a little bit for it. But there's a lot of folks who are just, I mean, you think. Like this guy, what he described is, he said two things. He enjoyed his time as a Marine Corps, but he had to get out. He was like, I, you know, wasn't doing anything, so I'm gonna get out. And he's like, I like making videos, so I was like, the perfect way to combine these two things.
Damn,
is to go over there and do and come up with all. He's hell like a YouTuber.
Hell of a gig.
He's a YouTube. You would think that he's a YouTuber first and foremost, who also like is a master of his craft.
Shoots and is shot at.
Yeah.
And then, like, how about those drone
artillery shell? I mean, it's wild.
And how about those drone videos that we got into for a while? Like, those drone videos were nutty, dude. Yeah. Like, it would literally be like, so they drop these little, they look like play school rockets or something. Like, I don't know what they are. These little explosives that'll drop from a drone. And a drone will little be way up. And it's like there's just a Russian taking a shit in a foxhole, literally. He's just like, or wanking. I saw one dude. Or no, there was a dude. We talked about this on the podcast. Yeah. Actually. It was that one dude getting blown by the other Russian guy. Yeah. Like, got to do what you can in wartime. Yeah. Both of them. My face is gone. So is my dick. Yeah. You know, just a drone drops.
FPV that it's just like, I mean, it's just
looks like a little Christmas tree or something, like a little Christmas ornament. It gets dropped. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a game. I don't know if I'd say drones are a game changer, but they're definitely adding a whole new element to warfare over there.
Well, I didn't know until you just started talking about it, but we removed the national headlines from the top of the hour on the radio. So I don't read national headlines on a regular basis, and I had not even thought about the Russian war, that war in weeks.
They didn't even mention it on there, though.
Really?
Like, it's such old, like...
It's old news now.
Your war in Ukraine still continues. Honestly, trust me, I am not for the Russian side at all.
Right.
But can't they just fucking end it? Can't they just do what they gotta do? Just, I mean, dude, you can't lightly occupy. Like, just get it done. If they're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's just so stalemated. Like, here's the thing is that when either side tries to attack, they get annihilated. That was the big counteroffensive that Ukraine was orchestrating. There was all this excitement, all this like false hope for it. You know, when anybody who knew anything was like, they're just going to get ground down. And they did. And lost some of their finest equipment and troops for sure. And it's just stalemate. Like, this war has proven that right now, at least with the technology and the tactics being used over there, is that the defense is king.
You know, and that's always been the case. If you if you're attacking, you want three times as much firepower and men as the defenders do. And even then, that's not it. That can't. That's not always enough.
Might be
and,
a bad day for you.
Yeah, I mean, both sides are just wore out, and ground down, and attrited. That it's just a stalemate. There's not a whole lot to talk about right now.
Can't they just share some pierogies and kielbasa and just get on with it?
I couldn't tell the difference between the two.
We all just get along.
I know it. All right, listen up, okay?
Yeah.
That is part one of this episode. Part two is going to release next week, and we're going to begin it finding out why we're splitting one episode off into two chunks.
I see.
All right? So plus,
what Jay Lindley has been doing
that
you guys need to know about.
Oh.
Oh.
Plus, I got one thing.
Well, that's how we need to title it. Yep. That's very, like, clickbait-ish.
Yeah. Exactly,
Four ways to make proper investments that the bank doesn't want you to know. That's coming up next, all right? So join us next week for part two.
Peace.
Bye.